Om Shanti. We'll begin this session with a very short meditation. So all of you, please sit alert. Recently in the Murli in Shantivan, Baba reminded us of our four different periods. So let's first of all stabilize ourselves in that state of complete purity. Sitting in the middle of the forehead, I am a radiant point of light. Luminous. The whole body has become filled with this divine light, perfect stillness. Stillness of the body as well as the mind. I am that spark of luminosity. Extremely light. Completely pure. Let me feel myself as a spiritual being, separate from body. Now I drop this body here and go there whence I had come. My home is calling me. Away from this ephemeral world. I am in my sweet silence home, the land of peace, the land of liberation. I am a shining star. And my radiance is more than all the other stars. I am a point of light, very much near to my Father. All His rays are upon me. Divine sense of purity. I feel my pure nature. Now I come down. The beginning period, the divine vistas of golden age, I am feeling my purity, my royalty, my divine personality. The entire Prakriti is Sata Pradhan. The divine gathering of deities, the beautific nature, I see myself. Your vritti and your kriti. a blissful stage of mind. And with that, consciousness, let me imbibe that complete purity in my entire being. There was once a mystic, and he got to know that his childhood friend has become prime minister to some king. So after a long time, he came to visit him. Both these friends met, and they were beside themselves with joy. But the friend who had become prime minister now, he said, "You have come at the right time, but the only problem is that I was about to go. I had to visit at least 4 houses. I have an important appointment. So would you like to wait for some time? And I'll come, and then we will have talk, because we are meeting after a long time. We had spent childhood golden moments together." So the mystic, or the fakir who had come, he said, "No, I don't want to stay away from you now for a moment also. It would be better that if you take me along with you. I will accompany you." So the prime minister, that friend, says, Okay, that's fine, you can come with me. But the mystic says, "My clothes are dirty. I have come after a long journey. You can see all my clothes." So that minister says, "Okay, that's not an issue. King had given me very beautiful dress, a coat. I'll give you that coat. I have some beautiful footwear also, something to wear on the head also, a turban. So that will suit perfectly well." So the mystic says, "Okay, that's fine." So he goes and he wears all those different beautiful attire, and he comes out. But the moment this minister friend, he sees that friend of him, he is feeling little uncomfortable, because now this friend is looking more handsome, and he had given him those clothes which he himself had not worn till now, because king has given him as a gift, but he had not worn them. So he says, "Okay," but he's tried to explain his mind. After all, he is my friend, and what is there if I give him my clothes? So they both go to the first house. And this minister friend introduces his friend. He says, "He is my friend. He is a great philosopher. He is a great mystic. And we had spent a lot of time together in our childhood, and he is a very good person, and everything is his. As far as coat is concerned, that is mine." So the mystic is shocked. Even the people who are there in that house, they feel a little uncomfortable. "Oh, what it said?" So even the minister feels, "Oh, what I have said, I should not have spoken such thing. It is not a good manner." So they come out of that house, and the mystic says, "Oh, it's not possible for me now to come with you to another house." So the minister says, "No, please forgive me for what I have said. Actually, I didn't want to say it, but it was a slip of the tongue." So somehow he agrees, and they go to the second house. And in the second house, this minister friend, he keeps on telling in his mind, "No, this time I will not talk anything about court." So he goes to the second house, and then he starts introduction. He says, "He is my friend, he is a good mystic, he is a great philosopher, we had spent a lot of childhood time together, and as far as the court is concerned, that is his only, not mine." So again, there is a little embarrassment, and so the mystic is little uncomfortable with that, and somehow they come out. So the mystic says, "No, it's too much now. It's better that I leave and I cannot come with you," because so the minister says, "Actually, I did not want to say anything about the court, but how it came out, I just don't understand." But he says, "I said, no, it is yours." But the mystic says, "But that creates a suspicion. When you say that, the coat is not his only." So that is a little ambiguous statement. So the mystic says, "Now it's too much. I won't accompany you." But the minister says, "Please, otherwise I will feel repentful the whole life that you came with me and such a thing happened. Please give me one more chance." So he takes him to the third house. In the third house, he starts the introduction. "He is my friend. He is a good mystic. He is a good philosopher. And we had a lot of childhood memories. And what? And as far as court is concerned, I don't want to say anything." So again, there is a lot of embarrassment there. And they come out and the mystic says, "Now enough is enough. I am not going to come with you anymore now. This is too much." He says, "Please give me a last chance. Actually, I was just working on the same thing. Right from the first visit or my house, I am just working on the same thing. Please give me some opportunity, some time. Because somehow I am trying to do something with it. So please, otherwise I will feel very bad that you came just like that and you left me." So they go to the fourth house. And then the minister starts, "He is my friend, he is a good philosopher, we had a lot of childhood memories, and as far as the court is concerned, how can I say anything when I don't know anything? I do not know anything about the court, so I can't say anything about the court." This is a story. Why I am narrating you this? You know what has happened in the mind of that minister. Something is suppressed. And that which is suppressed is trying to come out. Any emotion, any feeling, any bhavana which is suppressed within, and it is not transmuted, and it is not sublimated, and it is not transformed, will try to pop up in some way or other. All the vices are also like that. In the same example, if we see desire, he was desirous of his, possessive of his coat, but he found that his friend wore it for the first time. Actually, he should have worn, but then he explained his mind with some spiritual principles, with some morality, but that explanation was not enough. It came out in the first meeting. He had greed. Somehow it tried to came out. He had attachment. Somehow it tried to came out. He was having his own ego, which was trying to come out. And in between also he was getting angry. But then he had suppressed his anger with so-called philosophical principles which he had known. Or because of the social etiquettes or so on and so forth. So, anything which is suppressed will try to come out. Baba is talking about complete purity. I will tell you one murli, and everyone should go and read that murli. That is 26th December 1979. Probably the only murli where Baba said, "You should not, or you need not to conquer these vices." Baba has given a very beautiful example. If suppose you defeat, one king defeats another king and imprisons him. Okay? So the other king will try to take revenge. These five vices, you don't have to conquer, rather you transform them. Rather, you make them your cooperative friends. Lust, kaam, you convert into kaam, shubha kamana, good wishes. Anger, where there is an intoxication, josh of a negative quality, convert that into spiritual intoxication. Lobe, greed, convert that into a sense of being a trustee. Attachment, convert that into love. Don't try to suppress it. Because any emotion which is suppressed would become perverted in the long run. And you will not know. You will feel that, yes, I had conquered anger, but I don't know how it came after 10 years. We had taken the pledge of purity of celibacy long back, but I don't know now how after so many years, suddenly there is sudden surge of passion in the heart. Probably there was some repression or suppression of feelings, of emotions. We have not understood them probably in a way we should have understood. In the similar manner, ego. The minister had the feeling that this is mine. How dare he is wearing it. But he tried to explain himself with so-called spirituality, whatever he had. But then it tried to came out every time he was introducing him. And in fact, there is nothing called as slip of tongue. There is no such terminology as slip of tongue. It must be there somewhere in our heart. That feeling, that desire, that ambition, that vice, and it has just sought an opportunity to come out. So today's topic is Nirvana in Bhavana. A very tough topic, I suppose. There are two words. One is Nirvana and another is Bhavana. When I say the word Nirvana, there are three different meanings to that. Actually, this word comes in Buddhistic literature. And they say it is equivalent to moksha or mukti or liberation of Hinduism or Kaivalya of Jainism. The ultimate freedom. The word Nirvana means to be blown out or to get extinguished. We have heard this word in Murli many times. Baba uses this word in a different way, in a way which is never mentioned in any of the scriptures in the world. The first meaning of Nirvana is liberation, freedom, release, mukti, moksha, kaivalya. Those passions are gone, extinguished. That is the first meaning of Nirvana. Buddha attained Nirvana. That's what they say, they talk. It's nowhere there in the Vedic literature, it's nowhere there in Hinduism. It's only after the advent of Buddha that even Hindus adopted that word, but they tried to explain them in a different, that word in a different manner, not in the manner Buddha explained. So the first meaning of Nirvana is mukti, is liberation, is freedom, is complete deliverance, release. The second meaning is enlightenment. Enlightenment. Sudden awakening. You were sleeping till now and suddenly you got a new awakening, a new birth. A sudden new realization which was never there before. We were hearing Murli from long time, the same sentences many times, but one day, whilst you are sitting calm and quiet, and whilst hearing Murli, that point suddenly came like a flash of lightning and penetrated your being. And suddenly you understood a new meaning, a new connotation of the same statement, and suddenly something that what you wanted to know came to you, hands down. Enlightenment. There was a Zen lady who was under the tutelage of her master for 20 years and she was striving for this Nirvana, she was striving for enlightenment, but it was not happening somehow. And it happened one day in such a manner that she was just walking carrying that earthenware full of water, and suddenly she had a fall and it fell down that earthenware pot. And in each of those pieces there was certain water, and that water was reflecting the sky, and suddenly she achieved enlightenment, which she could not realize. Suddenly a new truth descended upon her, which she realized, which she never knew what is it. So you know, enlightenment happens in those moments where we are so lost in the contemplation of the divine or something, that suddenly it happens. It doesn't happen when we want, but it happens in those unguarded moments sometimes. For example, Archimedes, whilst he was taking bath in the tub, suddenly he realized. He got the answer, the metal, what alloy was mixed in that metal, in that gold. And he went, Eureka, Eureka, just like that, undressed. So, those moments. So, second meaning of Nirvana is enlightenment, awakening. The third meaning of Nirvana is, which Baba has said, and which is not mentioned anywhere, because Baba has taken literal meaning, Nirvan, Van means Vani, to go beyond sound. So, this is in short about Nirvana. Come to the other word, Bhavana. Can anyone tell me what is Bhavana? I will tell you three words, Bhav, Bhavana and Bhasana. Anybody? Yeah? What is Bhavana? Tell me first, what is Bhav? Subtle difference, yeah? Intent is Bhav, okay? Then, Bhavana, feelings, emotions, and Bhasana. Bhasana is yet another Hindi word which even the, it's less used, but Bhasana has more to do with experience. Bhavana means, actually the real meaning of the word Bhavana is cultivation. Cultivation. Bhavana again is a Sanskrit word, but more often used again in Buddhistic literature. It means cultivation. To cultivate. Chitta Bhavana means cultivation of mind. Kaya Bhavana means cultivation of body. Samadhi Bhavana means cultivation of concentration. The word Bhavana exact meaning is cultivation. To cultivate something. But Baba uses in a manner, it is feeling, it's emotion. Okay? But in fact, the word Bhav means emotion and feelings, and Bhavana is more of cultivation. But sometimes used synonymously. So, there are two things. How to bring Nirvana in Bhavana? Let's go to the first discussion, and which is the most important. To liberate suppressed feelings. To release pent up feelings. Something is within us. Some childhood trauma, some hurt, somebody who has done wrong to me long back. And then suddenly somebody came in Gyan. And then suddenly you understood that we have to become world benefactor. But that wound is still there. But that unhealing wound is still there. But that trauma has yet not healed. Few days back, one sister had come to us in OPD. And she was suffering from depression. She had huge files that did everything. She had visited n number of doctors. Many doctors had tried to change her medications. She was on very high and heavy doses of antidepressants, tranquilizers, and so on and so forth, and which she has changed many times. But her depression was not going at all. So little we sat with her, and we tried to find out the underlying hidden cause. So she narrated 35 years back, before coming in Gyan. She wanted to marry a man, but her younger sister married, that the same person. And she used to love her younger sister too much. But it was her desire to marry that person. But since her sister expressed the desire and she married also, and later on this sister came in Gyan. But that feeling was there, some grudge, some revenge, that she has snatched away somebody from me. That feeling persisted, and later on the same feeling got converted into somatization, somato form symptoms. Something which is suppressed, and that came out in the form of bodily disease. Pain here, pain there, pain everywhere, but all reports normal. No doctor is able to diagnose her because it was suppressed. Nirvana means to release. Nirvana means to deliver those pent up emotions, those negative energies which are within us. But how to do that? That's the most important thing. First step is to accept that there are certain points, there are certain triggers, there are certain persons, situations. The moment they come in front of me, suddenly all the Gyan and Yoga goes away somewhere. Suddenly a wave of negativity arises. And from where? And we are lost. And then immediately it goes away also. It doesn't stay for a long time, but it does come. It does come. It comes and it goes. You feel sorrowful for a moment. Remember this Sunday's Murli. What did Baba say? Complete purity has got three signs. Or this Baba had come recently, recorded Murli of 2nd February 2008, where Baba talked. Three signs of purity: drishti, vritti and kriti. Kriti means action, means you do not take sorrow, you do not give sorrow. Baba focused more on taking sorrow. We play the victim card. We do self-victimization and become sorrowful. We absorb sorrow. But that is not the complete purity. So even if the wave of sorrow is coming, if the wave of suffering, misery, unhappiness is coming unto us, it means there is some work that needs to be done. So, what are the suppressed emotions, feelings and bhavanas which are within me? And how should I get rid of them, those negative energies? There are certain steps to that which we need to do, and we need to do them every day. First, relax. First is to relax. Take out some time, because this is the most important work which is to be done, and we have not done it. We have been busy in Gyan and Yoga and classes and many other things. But this feeling, which is hidden somewhere in the subconscious, it's not so visible, it's not conspicuous that we can see it vividly. No, it is hidden. Even to reach that point sometimes is difficult. How to access, how to enter into that realm of subconscious mind? That's the thing. So, first thing is, as Baba said, look into the mirror and see what purity I have. So in the similar manner, here what we have to do is, you need some time for relaxation. I'm not talking about sleep. Silence is the sleep that refreshes wisdom. I'm talking of internal silence. I'm talking about that deep silence where we need to go within us and find and check those areas, those wounds, those hurts, those emotional abrasions, bruises. And they are just like that. And we have moved ahead, but they have not healed. So, relax first. Second is, whenever there is a suppressed emotion, that is not spirituality. Whether it is an emotion or it is vice, we need to get rid of it by completely understanding its nature, completely studying ourselves. Second is to study one's own mind, to study the triggers, to journal what are the events, what are the persons, what are the things. Once they come, the negativity arises in me. For some time, maybe transient, transitory, but negativity does come. What are those places? What are those times? What are those events, triggers, happenings, circumstances, persons? Everything. Try to journal them first of all. Unless until we know, how will we combat them? How will we do something with them? Otherwise that work remains undone. So second is journaling, writing down some triggers. For example, from morning Amrit Vela till now, how I was. Okay, one thing is that somebody came and spoke something rather rudely, and he was Brahmin, and I felt bad. Just journal it. This happened. Just journaling. Second. Third is to what is known as self-talk. Self-talk. Three things we have to do every day. One is self-talking. Second is talking with Father, Baba. And third is churning of knowledge. Every day, every Brahmin must do these three things. Sometimes we have to devote to talking with Baba. Sometime talking with self. And third thing is churning the knowledge. This is very important. So, self-talk. Then, you know, there are certain methods of release which are transitory, and there are certain methods of release which are long-term. So, temporary methods they talk of is sing, dance, play, walk, move around, go in solitude. These are some of the methods. At least for some time they will help you in coming out of that suppressed emotion. Otherwise that remains very deep within. If you want it to come out, you have to do this. And most important thing in this is venting it out. Catharsis. Find somebody with whom you can share, rather than keeping it within. Like a pressure cooker, it is there. If you find nobody is reliable, then Baba is always there. If you still feel that, you can write it down. But don't keep it within you for a long time. You know, anger, settled anger is known as hatred. You are angry with somebody and then you forget. But then it remained there. Then again you get angry after few days or few months. Again that is cumulative effect occurs. So, venting it out, playing, stretching, exercising, all these things do help in releasing those pent-up energies. Change of place. If you feel, this is the best thing we advise our patients. They say that we have tried everything. They are in Gyan for a very long time. Feel despondency, blues. We have tried everything. Now tell something new. Sometimes change of place. Go to some other place for some days. For change of atmosphere, climate. And some new ideas will come. And most important thing is nature. Go near nature. You know, all the poets in the world, all the sculptors, all the artists, musicians, they were all nature lovers. The more you go near nature, you feel your inner being. Learn to listen to the silence. Learn to listen to the chirping of the birds. Those streams, the mountains. See those mountains. Those streams, lakes. You know, the more you go to nature, the more relaxed you feel. And probably in one of those moments, that pent up energy of negativity will come out and get vanished. Go seek nature. Seek the lap of nature. Sit there and then read Murli. You will enjoy it all the more. Everything is available on mobile, so you can always sit somewhere long in the company of nature for a long time and experience that. So this is for moment as well as for long time. For long time, again they talk of writing your attainments, accomplishments, dwelling on positivity and converting, creating some spiritual drill using the principles of visualization. Just as you see, this is actually a canvas or the screen, you see your entire life, your childhood, what all things happened there. Is everything all right there? But do that in that detached observer manner. Amrit Vela. Not throughout the day, Amrit Vela. Because if you try to remember some event throughout the day, you may get identified and suddenly you might start crying because that was a very tragic event. So try to do that towards the end of Amrit Vela, maybe 4:30 to quarter to 5. Just see your entire life, what all peoples you saw. And if you see some hurt, if you feel that somebody has hurt you, try to forgive. Try to neutralize all those negativities which are within. This is the most important thing. But again, I am telling, do this in that detached observer manner. As if I am just seeing. I am not doing anything. I am neither happy nor unhappy. Just seeing. Just seeing them, you get detached from that memory. For example, a patient had come to us and she said, I am having chest pain. So we investigated her. Everything was alright. Everything was normal. At the last, she said, I asked, what time you get chest pain? She says, I get chest pain only when one particular soul comes in front of me. Once that sister comes in front of me, that time I start feeling chest pain. Otherwise, I don't feel. So there is something within. The moment that stimulus comes, something happens in the body. But actually, there is nothing in the heart, in the physical malady. It is something here, something in the psychology. So, try to. And how do I know? How do I work on that? Because that happens only when that stimulus comes. Otherwise, it's not there. Now, if you say any negative thought, not at all. In Gyan Sarovar, everything is so positive and I am feeling so positive vibrations. But whilst you are in Madhuban, plan what I have to do after I go to my place. The planning of 6 months should start here. Sit in the Baba's room and plan here what I have to do after going there. See your office, see your home, see your center, everything. And try to do what were the triggers there. See your past 6 months and plan for the next 6 months. This is the best thing which is to be done in Madhuban. But usually when we come to Madhuban, what happens is we are so much lost in Baba's love and Murli and everything. So we don't want to remember anything negative. Why will we? But those negative, once we go there, they come back. They come back. The Madhuban effect stays for 5 days, 10 days, and then it wanes off. So whilst in Madhuban, during our post Amrit Vela, see your last 6 months. What were the disturbances? What was the cause of sleeplessness? Why I became disturbed? What was the thing that came and I was just rattled? What things happened? Contemplate on each and all those things and try to neutralize, write them down and then seek for the solution. Go in the nature, go in silence, go in solitude. Sit with that plain mind, Baba says. And the solution will descend. Because once you go in that area, probably it is difficult. Now you are out of that circle of the world. You are out in a different circle. From this circle, you can see that circle in a better manner. So plan what I have to go after going there. What all the things Baba had said in one of the Murlis, that you must know all the neighboring leaves. All the neighboring souls, their sanskars, their nature, their habits, mannerism, everything. Contemplate on them. So, release of that pent up energy. Because if you don't do this work, then as far as court is concerned, that is mine. As far as court is concerned, that is his. As far as court is concerned, I don't want to say anything. As far as court is concerned, I do not know anything. So everything has come out. So there is something suppressed. So try to seek to release this negative energy. Even when you exercise, you know, you can do with this self-respect that all the negative energy is going out from my legs, from my feet into the earth. It's going out. While you walk with that vision that I am walking, and after the walk I will be a new person, full of energy, positivity, full of verve and animation. Okay? So one meaning is to release the suppressed emotions. Release nirvana of deliverance of suppressed feelings, emotions, vices, anger. It will not come if everybody is talking nicely with me. Why the anger will come? But the moment somebody tries to insult me, that time it might try to come out. Baba has used that word in that Murli recently in Shantivan. Somebody insults you. Is insult or sorrow is a good thing? Baba said it is kichida. It is rubbish. Why you take it? Why you get that feeling of sorrow? That means it is not purity. First is this. Second is enlightenment of feelings or emotions or bhavana. How our feelings or emotions should get enlightened. We have heard in Murli so many times, Shrestha bhavana, elevated feelings, Shubha bhavana, auspicious, you should have beneficial feeling for everybody. You should have pure feelings, good wishes for everyone. You should have feeling of mercy or compassion for everyone. Rahim ki bhavana. Nimitta bhav. Baba has used many words. Work on bhavana. What is the level of my bhavana? Because all the words that we speak, the basis of word is bhavana. What bhavana you are speaking? Suppose we have to give correction to somebody. In one of the Avyakta Murli, Baba has said, there are three stages if you want to correct somebody. And Janki Dadi had said sometime that if you want to create enemies in Brahmin family, start giving corrections. You will create enemies. So if you at all want to give correction, that correction should be, that shiksha should be with shama, forgiveness. So Baba had said three steps. First, get stabilized in soul consciousness, in self-respect. Second, look at that soul who has just committed a blunder and you are about to scold him. Because he had done great loss. Probably he has lost money or he was given in charge of something and he could not do that. Just out of his lackadaisical or careless attitude. So, you are about to scold him. First step is get stabilized in soul consciousness or self-respect. Second, to look at that soul with that self-respect. And then to correct him. And then to give him correction and not in front of everybody. Because he might feel insulted. So there are steps and ways to do that. So how can I bring mercy, compassion, that empathy in my feelings? Baba said, have good wishes and pure feelings for each and every soul. Do I have? Probably not. Once we accept, then only we can work. If we say, yes, I have for everybody, then the work is finished. First, accept. In some nook and corner of the mind, something is hidden. Somebody has tortured us mentally for a long time. How can I have good wishes for him? It's a practical question. You know, there was a Christian lady and she was physically assaulted by one person. And later on, she became surgeon. And this man came to her one day with bullet injury, about to die. Now it was a decision for her whether to operate on him or not. Because she could identify as the same man. She went to the church and sat in front of Jesus and asked, "Lord, tell me what I should do." And she heard a cry from Jesus, and she felt as if instead of Jesus Christ, she is there. And in front of her, that man is there. And Jesus is saying, "They know not what they are doing. I forgive them." And she also felt like that, "Ki, I am forgiving him for whatever he has done." And she operated. So you know, the change and transformation or metamorphosis of feelings, they happen in silence. It is not going to come, no matter how much you try, that this man, if he comes, I will talk nicely with him. It will not work. Because feelings are negative. Because you are not forgiven him. Because you still carry a grudge somewhere for this soul within you. So some deep, greater work need to be done in silence, in solitude, all alone, sitting. Just think of the persons whom hurt you. What sort of feelings I have for these 10 people? Unless an E forgive, your Father will not forgive E. Judge not, and E shall not be judged. So that magnanimity of heart, generosity of heart, compassion, empathy in feelings, that sense of being an instrument, He is doing through me. I am just a tap. The tank is above, water is flowing through me. If the water wants, it can flow through another tap. So who I am? How, with what? This thing I can say, I have done this seva, that seva. It is His grace upon me. I am fortunate that He has selected me, chosen me for this task. He could have chosen better person also. But He chose me. He could have said, "Oh, when for the first time He chose you, if He comes now and says, 'No, you are by mistake, actually I wanted the other man who was next to you in that village, in that house.' Suddenly you were walking and you saw Brahma Kumaris when you went inside. Actually, Baba, if He says, 'Not you, the person who was following, actually I wanted to touch him.' Then?" So, second is this. Third is going beyond sound. Nirvana in feelings, nirvana in bhavana means, so what is this sound in bhavana? Or different bhavanas, or different feelings or emotions. We have to go to the place which is nirvana, land which is beyond sound. You know what is the sound of bhavana? Go to the same word, S. S means slavery. When we are emotionally slave to somebody, actually that is the stage of voice. From this slavery we have to go and get rid of this serfdom, this subjugation, and to that stage of nirvana, where there is no sound. This itself is a sort of sound. S-O. O is oversensitivity. Somebody says something, you feel hurt. Somebody does something, you are oversensitive. In this path of spirituality, you cannot afford to become extremely sensitive. It is known as HSP, highly sensitive persons. HSP, am I HSP? Am I playing victim card now and then? Do I feel that I am only responsible for all wrong happenings in the world? This is known as self-victimization. Somehow or other, everybody of us try to self-victimize. There are only two things in the world, blame game. You blame others or you blame yourself. But blaming ourselves is worst, because that induces inferiority complex, and that is against self-respect, against Swaman. So, S-O, U is unawareness, is also a sound. We have to go beyond the stage of unawareness, means unconsciousness. Unconsciousness means body consciousness. We commit mistake only when we become unconscious. When we are aware in the stage of nirvana, in the stage of enlightenment, we never commit mistake. We come down from soul consciousness and mistakes happen. N. S-O-U. N. N is negativity. Let me create new positive emotions. I have to do that. For that, you will require some time. It will not happen at the drop of a hat. No, it will take some time. You will have to retire within yourself. You will have to disconnect to reconnect. D is desires, the sound of desires, worldly desires, ambitions. A spiritual mind is a non-ambitious mind. When I say ambition, I mean worldly ambitions. You cannot serve two masters. You want world also, you want worldly things also, and God also. It's not possible. You'll have to let go of one. So, going beyond sound, that is Nirvana. Now, we are going to do one yoga or meditation. I call it Nirvana meditation. I will tell you first what we are going to do in that. This Nirvana meditation means staying in the soul world for a longer time. So staying in Paramdham and practicing seven things there, seven drills of Supreme Abode. What are those seven things? Because Baba has said time and again that it's only in the Paramdham that all your sins will get absolved. In that volcanic yoga stage, in that stage of volcanic yoga where you are just like fire, Jwalamukhi yoga. Otherwise not, simple yoga will not help. Jwalamukhi yoga is needed. So what we are going to do is, first we will go to the soul world and seven things there. The first thing is, the moment you enter the soul world, try to remember what are the different names of this soul world. And in that, every name gets stabilized. It is Nirvan Dham, it is Shanti Dham, it is Mukti Dham, and so on and so forth. So that you have certain time. Some time you are spending here. Just bringing the name and getting situated in that name. Feeling that now I am in the land of peace. So everywhere peace is encompassing me. I am in that perfect ocean of peace. The peace is surrounding me all over. So that way, that is the first step. Second, become soul consciousness. Practice soul consciousness in the soul world. The seven forms, seven different qualities of soul. Try to recollect all those there in the soul world. Peaceful, blissful, happy, or whatever. All those seven things. That is the second. Third, in the third drill, in the third step, you see Shivaba is in front of me and I am in front of him and all his rays are upon me. His ocean of bliss, his bliss is coming upon me. The shower of bliss, the rain of ecstasy upon me. That is the third stage. Fourth, you try to experience all relationship with the One Father in the subtle world, in the soul world. As if that point of light is my everything. I have none but Him as my everything. We live, move and have our being in Him. All the eight relationships or whatever relationships you want. In that stage also, I have heard from many Brahmins, they said to me that we practice all relationships with Baba in this Paramdham. Even that can be done. Next step is getting merged. One. Shiva Baba and soul have become one. There are no two entities anymore. We have become one. You know, I often like the example which is given in Bible. Jesus Christ is asked, who are you? And he says, I am Son of God. At other place he was asked, where is your Father? He says, my Father that art in heaven. So that is the first. Son is different and Father is different. At another place somewhere in Matthew, he was asked, but what is the relation? Where does your Father stay and where do you stay? He says, my Father is in me and I am in my Father. That is the second stage. My Father is in me and I am in my Father. At some other place, but what is the relationship between you and your Father? And he says that statement and for which probably he was crucified. My Father and I are one. My Father and I. And people say it is blasphemy. How can you call that your Father and I are one? How can you say that before Abraham I am? You have come now and you are saying you were there before Abraham? So you know these are the three stages of soul. First, I am Son of God. He is different, I am different. Then you come in Gyan, you move ahead, and you feel that Baba is with me all the time. It's in fact, we have made him omnipresent. Now, because we feel he is there, his canopy is upon me. So, He is in me and I am in Him. This is the second stage. The third stage, my Father and I are one. We are not two different entities, we are one. So this is a feeling, this is an emotion, this is a bhavana. Where we feel I have become, Baba said, combined stage is the most powerful stage. So in the Paramdham, fifth stage is one. Then sixth stage is, you come down a little, He is up, you are below, and the globe is below you. And all His rays are upon me, and all the rays from me are going on all the souls of the world. This is the sixth stage. And the seventh stage in soul world is detached observer. As a detached observer, you see everything. You can see yourself coming down on this globe, playing different paths, coming down, what Baba said, four period meditation. And then coming to the confluence age, and then again becoming angel and coming back to home. From soul world to soul world. See your journey from soul world as a detached observer. Okay, so let's sit alert. Radiant star. Completely detached from the body. Full of divine bhavana. I, the soul, am feeling myself. What is in me? What is my real nature? Who I am? Whence I came? Let me turn within. See myself as I am. Pure being, all feelings, all emotions purified, an ocean of positivity within me. All the negative energy, negative emotions have left me. And the flood of positivity within me . All the feelings have become enlightened. An unusual divine awareness of lightness extremely light I am supremely pure soul . Now let me go back to my home, to that world beyond sound, only there I can recollect myself, my scattered being. And with this thought, I, the soul, I drop this body down, assuming an angelic form. I am traveling up. Above the vast firmament, above the stars, the moon and the sun, my astral body the feeling of being double light. I have reached the subtle world. Baba is giving drishti to me. I hear him say, "Child, may you attain the highest stage of nirvana. In all your bhavanas, the shower of bliss upon me." Deep silence within and without. Now I drop this subtle body here and I enter my home, the incorporeal world, the soul world. I am a point of light. I am feeling completely liberated in this land of liberation. Completely peaceful in this land of peace. I see the sixth element. Everywhere in this Brahmalok, this is my home. I see so many souls around. This is Nirvan Dham, the abode beyond sound. Deep silence. Now I try to recall, what is my nature? I am a blissful soul, a loving soul, peace is my very nature. Extremely happy, most powerful, Now I see my father in front of me. All his rays are upon me. He's showering divine purity upon me. The shower of purity. Staring at him, the point of light, and all rays are upon me. Now I talk with that point of light. He is my all in all. All relationships with one, my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my teacher, my preceptor, my beloved friend, and my beloved. Now I go very near to him, and Shiv Baba and I have become one. I, the soul, I have merged in the Supreme Soul, the most powerful combined stage. Just as he is the ocean of love, now I am the ocean of love. All his has become mine. Now I come down. He is upon me and all his rays are upon me. And from me, from the Paramdham, the rays of bliss, knowledge, happiness are falling upon all the souls of the globe. Now, as he is the detached observer, I am also a detached observer of this world drama. And from this highest summit of soul world, I watch this entire drama. See souls coming down on earth. How each soul is playing his parts. How time is changing. How cycle is moving forward. I see the beautiful confluence age. I see Diamond Hall, where God is meeting all His children. I see souls from all corners of the world in front of their Father. Everything today I see as a mute spectator. Now I see my own life. The different scenes of my life as a detached observer. Now from the soul world, I come down in the subtle world, and then from the subtle world to this corporeal world. I enter into my body again. Positivity, full of divine powers, soul conscious vision, enlightened bhavanas. Baba is in front of me, and let me spend some time talking with him all alone, just talking with him, telling him the deepest of the things I have not told anyone, the deep suppressed bhavanas. Let me share with him today, in this moment of silence.